Would you guys please pray with me? God, please remove the distractions in our hearts right now. Father, help us to acknowledge deeply how desperately dependent we are on you right now in this moment, in every moment. Father, please change us by the power of the Spirit through your word for your glory and our joy in you, that we may be a light to others. We love you, and we pray these things in Christ's beautiful name. Amen. Well, you can often tell just from a taste what something's made of. I was getting my oil changed about 2 months ago. The guy at the oil change place walked up to my car, came up to the window, and asked what type of oil they used last time. I said, I'm not sure. This is a true story. He walks to the front of my car. He bends down to like one knee. He reaches up under my car, and he rubs his fingers around. He's rubbing around. He stands back up, and he licks his fingers. And he turns to the guy back in the bay and said, "It's 5W20 full synthetic." We do things a little different in South Carolina. It's true. Just a taste of something can tell you what it's made of. And in Psalm 116, the writer has tasted and seen the sweetness of God's love against the bitter backdrop of life's pain. Please turn with me to Psalm 116. If you're new here, as it's already been said, we are so glad that you're here. If you're not familiar with the Bible, the Psalms right in the middle of your Bible. And this is one of several Psalms sung by the Israelites as they celebrate Passover each year, reminding them of God's faithfulness. Y'all, this Psalm is loaded with encouragement for our souls. Today, we'll see the sweet love of God that causes a psalmist to cry out in the first four words, "I love the Lord." Amen. So whether you walked in here today high or low, whether you feel like your heart is at rest or your heart is a mess, whether you are filled with hope or whether you feel like you're at the end of your rope, this psalm is for you, because we all need to be at a place where the cry of our hearts is, "I love the Lord." We need our hearts ignited to be set on fire for him, for the Spirit to use the word of God to show us God's beauty, so the gap between our head and our heart closes and we see afresh his amazing grace. So please follow along with me in Psalm 116 as we see a heart ignited by God's love. The word of God says this: "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol," means the grave, "laid hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you, God, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed. Even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted, and said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people in the courts of the house of the Lord in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Fire ignites easily in the right environment. I learned this lesson early in life. My cousin, who I shared about every childhood and teen memory with, was at my house on the dirt road where we grew up. We had fireworks out. We shouldn't have. My parents weren't home. It was against the rules. But I lit the fuse, and he threw it into the yard on a dry, windy day. And the grass caught fire, and it began spreading. We stomped on it, and the fire only grew bigger, fueled by the wind and the dry ground. The hose was too far away. It wouldn't reach. So in my panic, I ran in the house. I got on the phone calling the fire department while he ran over and grabbed a big log, ran it over to the hose, soaked the log thoroughly with the water, ran it back to the fire, and rolled it back and forth over the grass fire until, by God's grace, it went out. Fire ignites quickly in the right conditions. In Psalm 116, the conditions were right for the psalmist's heart to burn and yearn for the Lord. In verse 3, we'll see that he's been through some deep stuff. Look at verse 3 with me. He says, "The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish." He's either been through some stuff that put him close to actual death, or he's in such anguish that it felt like death. He's saying he's been through hell. And he's come to the end of himself, and he cried out to God. And friends, that's a good place to be, because fire starts in a desperate heart. Most of you have been through some stuff. You felt trapped, desperate, at the end of your rope, and maybe you're there now. Maybe you're dealing with some stuff that just won't go away, some physical pain or emotional pain, painful reminders of failure or tragedy or life's disappointments. And the struggle's real. The pain is real, and it hurts, and it feels like you're going through hell, and you just want the pain gone. It's like the oyster that has a grain of sand that's lodged inside its shell. And that grain of sand, day after day after day after day, aggravates and irritates and rubs that oyster and causes unending pain to that oyster. And the oyster tries over and over and over and over to get it out. And the struggle goes on for months, and the struggle goes on for years before the pain of the sand is finally gone. And in its place sits a beautiful, shiny, treasured pearl. When you and I come to the end of ourselves and we cry out like he did in verse 4, "Oh Lord, deliver my soul," the conditions are just right for the love of God to ignite our hearts and bring forth beauty from our pain. The psalmist in verse 1 is burning with passion for the Lord. He says, "I love the Lord." He says in verse 2, "I'll call on him as long as I live." In verse 9, he says, "I'll walk before the Lord in the land of the living." In verse 13 and 14, he says, "I'll lift up the cup of salvation and call on the Lord." And then he says, "I'll pay my vows to the Lord." Where? In the presence of all his people. Verse 18 again, "I'll pay my vows to the Lord." Where? In the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. He can't contain his love, and he wants others to know. He's testifying to God's grace for the same reason the TCC team went to Moldova, because they want people to know what God has done. What lit the fuse and fueled the fire in his heart? What lit the fuse and fueled the fire in his heart? What do you and I need to digest this morning from Psalm 116? that doesn't just cause us to say praise God on Sunday, but causes us to live different on Monday, to love different on Tuesday, to sustain us through the pain on Wednesday, or when the boss treats you poorly on Thursday, or when the bills due Friday are too much, or when you're rejected by your loved one on Saturday. What simple truths do we need to tattoo on our minds and in our hearts from Psalm 116 that fan the flame so God can bring pearls from our pain? Three things from Psalm 116 I want us to look at. The Lord's listening love, the Lord's lavish love, and the Lord's liberating love. We've recently celebrated two important independence holidays, Juneteenth and July 4th. On July 4th, some of America's finest athletes converged on Brooklyn, New York, Coney Island, for the hot dog eating championship of the world. Joey Chestnut won his 17th title, joining MJ, LeBron, Ali, Gillespie, the legends. He shoveled in 70 hot dogs, over 70 hot dogs, and 70 buns in 10 minutes by near about swallowing everything whole. For him, it was all about winning. A lot of it doesn't even stay down. It was not about enjoying the satisfying taste of the hot dog. For the psalmist, it's all about enjoying the sweet taste of God's love and getting more of Him. You see, when we taste and see the Lord is good and gaze on His love, we see how satisfying He is and we want more. And it takes our focus off of us and our circumstances. We tend to replay our failures over and over in our minds in high definition, while being attached to truth like it's with a grainy old antenna. We need to flip the script. My amazing wife, Amy, was dealing with pain in her hip for over a month, tried everything. She went to PT, finally, went to physical therapy, and they immediately diagnosed the problem. They said, "Your hip is locked." A few movements, and her hip was unlocked to move freely with no pain. Our minds, they get locked on our failures, who we were, our circumstances, and the very real pain of the harm that may have been done to you. And friends, God cares about your pain. God cares deeply about your pain. But God wants to release us from the grime of self-focus and fear and anxiety that you and I get bogged down in. When TCC bought the Hargett Street building a couple of facilities ago in downtown Raleigh, there was a problem. A few, actually. My recollection was when you flushed the men's toilet, rather than the contents going down the pipe and out, they could miss a turn and end up straight through the wall in the ladies' toilet. That's a nasty trick to play on the ladies in the TCC office. There was a path to flush the junk out, but it wasn't being utilized. God has given us a pathway to get the muck of self-focus and fear and anxiety out, even in the midst of life's pain. That pathway is seeing and recounting His beautiful love. Look at verse 7. He goes from singing praises about God to literally turning and speaking to his own soul. He says, "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." You and I need that. He tells his soul to rest because what God has done. He recounts God's love so that his soul can rest. So what does your self-speech look like? What do you replay in your mind? We're going to see three aspects of God's love, y'all, that I lived under as I applied Psalm 116 this past week. I replayed, I rehearsed his love from this psalm in the moments I failed, when I felt unlovable, when I was fearful, when I was sad, when I was tempted to sin, and every time I recounted his love, my soul found rest. Every time. The psalmist first experienced the Lord's listening love. Verses 1 and 2, after declaring his love for the Lord, he says, he heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. He inclined his ear to me. The word here literally means to bend down. It literally means to bend down. The Lord leans in and listens when his people cry out. This is so important because his posture, think about this, God's posture, it invites us in. It draws us in. When we're hurting, lonely, fearful, there's nothing more loving than for a person to put down their phone, remove their distractions, lean in, and compassionately listen. Their posture either draws us in or it keeps us at a distance. When we were at TCC, folks on a Sunday morning, they would walk in and they would see Mrs. Kathy's warm smile as they entered. And they knew just by looking at her that she was ready to listen. And her posture, her disposition would draw them in. On the other hand, I got pulled over in Raleigh when I was in college. Late one night, about midnight, on the Beltline, for driving too slow. True story. The policeman, probably thinking I was crazy, understandably stood outside my car with a stern look and a stern disposition because he was suspicious of me. I wasn't drawn to him. I anxiously sat still. God's posture to his children in Christ is one of leaning in. His disposition is always loving, always caring. He always welcomes us. He always listens. He never hesitates. He leans in and his love draws us in. So how do you view God's posture, his disposition toward you? Dane Ortlund says this, Jesus is not trigger happy, not harsh, not reactionary, not easily exasperated. He is the most understanding person in the universe. The posture most natural to him is not a pointed finger, but open arms. That's the Lord's listening love. Now in verse 5, let's look at his lavish love, number 2. The psalmist declares, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. He's tasted and seen that the Lord is only good, only merciful, and only righteous. Now, there's very few delicious foods that are made of only delicious ingredients, right? Take liver mush. That's right. It's what you eat for breakfast where I'm from. And it's good. It is good. It's the filet mignon of the hot dog family. It's good. It's delicious. I'll tell you how I know it's delicious. Because I watched the Muse girls when they were little tykes eat liver mush and beg their mom and daddy for more. They didn't know what it was. Let me tell you a few of the ingredients in liver mush. This is straight from the label of the Max liver mush made in my hometown. Pork liver, makes sense. Pork spleen, know about that one. Pork snouts, I don't even know how you eat a snout, right? I don't think they know what all's in it, all right? So it's not got the most appetizing ingredients. The psalmist has tasted the Lord's goodness and testifies that even in the life's most bitter circumstances, every ingredient of God's love is pure. Every ingredient of God's love is made of only grace, only mercy, and only righteousness. And even in his discipline, it's out of his perfect, pure love for our good, for his glory, and for our joy in him. And if you see God that way, friends, you'll want to be with him. You'll want to run to him. Who or what do you run to first? When you're down? When you're tired? When you're disappointed? The place we run first for relief is what we view as our Savior, our functional Savior. Whether it's TikTok or crack rock, whether it's porn or candy corn, whether it's gin or approval from a friend, whether it's a shopping trip or a relationship, where you run first is where you feel safest. Only God can satisfy our hearts and never lets us down. Y'all, anything else we run to as a refuge is an idol in our hearts that will never deliver. People will let you down. The rapper Lecrae says, if you live for people's acceptance, you'll die from their rejection. The only one who can give you peace is the Prince of Peace. You can identify potential idols in your heart by asking, who or what consumes most of my time, most of my thoughts? What, think about this, what, if I don't get it, causes me to despair, to get angry? God must be our refuge. And his love is only made of grace, mercy, and righteousness. It means we should orient our lives around what helps to draw us near to him. So our use of time, our relationships, what we watch, what we listen to, should all be filtered through the question, does it draw me nearer to God's love, or does it drag me down? The Lord who listens, who lavishes grace, mercy, and righteousness. Number three, he liberates. He liberates. From the pit of despair in verse 4, he cried, O Lord, deliver my soul. In verse 6, he says, when I was brought low, he saved me. Verse 8 says, you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. In verse 16, he says, you, O Lord, you have loosed my bonds. In other words, God, you have set me free. He's been free from the death, the hell, the despair he was going through. But friends, this is not just his story. If you're a follower of Jesus, his story here reflects your story. Romans says we were dead in our sin and hopeless. And the only way out was to cry to the one who demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. I recently went back to my hometown. The old funeral home that I remember as a kid is now a bed and breakfast. Right. Somebody renovated it. That's pretty freaky. You and I couldn't be renovated. We were dead in our sins and separated from a holy God. God didn't slap a fresh paint on you to cover up your old self. You were remade with a new heart. A heart of Christ applied to you. People in my hometown who know that place is history, they think it's creepy, a place of death. But when God sees you, he doesn't see what was. You were made new and given a new name. My ancestors, they immigrated from Sicily in Italy. That's why I love Papa John's, Domino's. Authentic. In the U.S., they changed their last name from Saracini to Sarrazin. Now, there's a famous golfer, Gene Sarrazin, and I wondered, did he change his name too? So I looked it up. Yep, he changed his name too, because he became a pro golfer. And he didn't think his Italian name sounded like a golfer name. He thought it sounded like a violinist. So he changed his name to reflect who he became. In Christ, you've been given a new name. He calls you a saint. He calls you faithful. heirs of God, child of God, friend of God, dearly beloved, royal priesthood, children of the promise, crown of glory, chosen vessel, children of the Most High, the apple of his eye. And that is how God sees you all the time. It means you're not a disappointment. You're not defined by your failures, but by his victory. So why do we keep going back to the sinful things that enslave us? C.S. Lewis, you probably heard this quote, but he's so good. He says, we're half-hearted creatures who would rather fool around with the pleasures of the world while infinite joy is offered to us. He says, we're like the child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. He says, we're far too easily pleased. Meanwhile, God is offering us the only thing that truly satisfies our heart's desires, and that's himself. A five-star buffet of his grace, mercy, and righteousness. If you're here today as one who's seeking, searching, you're just here exploring who Jesus is, man, we're so glad you're here. This is a safe place for you to do that. We're so glad you're here. Like me, you don't deserve and can't earn God's love. We must come to him needy. Verse 6 says, the Lord preserves the simple. It says, the Lord preserves the simple. Now, I have a genetically small head. It's a scientific fact. I buy hats in the children's section. It's a provable fact. Inside a small head... You math majors can answer this. Inside a small head fits a small brain, right? I am a simple thinker. I'm a simple thinker. And that's how we think about the word simple. But here in this psalm, simple means childlike faith. It means neediness, like a child, dependent on God. He says, when I was brought low, he saved me. It means God only requires that with a humble heart, a desperate heart, we cry out to him. Our best efforts can't bridge the gap between sinful people and a holy God, but God in his love made a way through Jesus and wants you to turn from your sin and to run to him today. And his love, it never fails. It never fails, not in life or in death. A month ago, I got a call that my cousin, who I referenced early in the sermon, I grew up with, he tragically drowned in a lake in our hometown on a Saturday night about 4 weeks ago. I was home alone. I cried a lot because death stings. Death stings. God had delivered the psalmist from death. And in verse 8, he's thankful that he can now walk, as he says, before the Lord in the land of the living. That means here, on earth. But he knows life is temporary. And he sees that God's love is perfect, whether in life or death. Verse 15, he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because God's love sets us free, not just from the power of sin and Satan, but the power of death. And one day, he'll wipe away every tear, and death will be no more. Neither will there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. And there'll be a new heavens and a new earth, and there'll be no more need for the sun or the moon, for the glory of God will give it light, and its lamp will be the Lamb. And that'll make our hearts leap. It's what the prophet Malachi saw when he said, for those who fear the Lord, they'll go leaping out like calves from the stall. I grew up in the country surrounded by cow pastures, just like we are here. In fact, y'all come back later, I'll take you cow tipping. If you've seen a newborn calf set free from the stall, you've seen them leap and bound, enjoying their newfound freedom. But that same calf, free to run, will return to its mother over and over and over again because she loves it, she protects it, and she provides for its needs. Didn't earn her love. She loves it because it's hers. God gives our hearts everything we need, none of which we deserve. And our hearts should leap like the calf set free. And our response should be like the psalmist in verse 17. He says, I'll offer to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Having dealt with so much oppression and slavery, generation after generation after generation of God's people sang Psalm 116, and their souls were reminded of his sweet love. In 1970, a family music group from Chicago called the Five Stair Steps, considered the first family of soul, released a song that has comforted the hearts of many hurting and oppressed people through the years. It's recognizable by its soothing melody and identifiable by its first two words. Ooh, child. A lot of you can finish that. Let me hear it. Ooh, child. Get easier. Ooh, child, things are gonna get brighter. It's a song of future hope. It's a song of better days to come. Life in this world is hard. Pain is real. Better days are coming in Christ. But for today, he is all your soul needs. And in his love, you have a new song to sing. So when you feel alone this week, sing to your soul about his listening love. When you feel unlovable this week, sing to your soul about his grace-filled love. When you mess up again this week, sing to your soul about his merciful love. If you're mistreated this week, sing to your soul about his righteous love. When you're tempted to sin this week, sing to your soul about his liberating love that frees you from sin's power. And then run to him, leaping like a calf set free with your heart on fire. Tim Keller says, don't go to him because he's useful. Go to him because he's beautiful. And yet there's nothing more useful than finding him beautiful. Beholding his beauty will allow you to say to yourself, return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Let's pray. God, we love because you have first loved us. So fill us with an awe for your love. Fill us with a joy and a contagious excitement for what you've done and what you will do. God, help us to be conduits of your love and your grace and your mercy to others. Help us to overflow your love, that when people see us, they may see something different and they may want to love and treasure the God who sets hearts free. So thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Help us to go out this week as changed people. We love you and we pray these things in Christ's beautiful name. Amen.